Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
Hey, Coxie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen the guys in the shopping centres selling the firemen's calendars?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wondered, like I've wondered, I've seen a couple of those guys that look like they've had a few too many Great Northerns and they're there in the uniform and they got the fire gear on selling these calendars with mm-hmm. like ripped, muscly firemen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked sometimes and thought, are you actually a fireman selling that calendar, or are you just a sales guy that pulled on a set of high-vis overalls and a hat, you know?
Imagine how excited he must be if he is just some guy pulling on the overalls.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. You get to be like pretend to be a fireman for a day and sell the calendars. I'd feel like a little bit bad if I was not as sort of kind of fit as the guys in the calendar. I've just always wondered anyway.
That's a fair point.
Something else I've wondered about is how hard it is to get into the fireys.
I must admit, I thought it was a bit easier than it is. And when I stop and think about it, I think it was ridiculous that I ever thought it was easy because it's such an important job and mentally draining and physically draining. Of course, it's going to be quite a process.
And so I've known a couple of people that have been firefighters. My brother's actually in the CFA in Victoria,
mm-hmm.
Country Fire Authority, but they're pretty hardcore volunteer service down there. Like they attend all sorts of serious fires and everything. Like that's the CFA in Victoria is almost like the main brigade.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's done some pretty hardcore training and stuff. But today's guest, actually, he's been a fireman for a whole bunch of years and saw a lot of people struggling to get in. And so he made a business out of basically coaching people to get accepted into the fireys.
Really clever idea.
Yeah, yeah. So smart businessman. And he's started another business recently around marketing, but he's got some fantastic insights into employment.
Mm.
So if you're an employer or if you're a budding tradesman or tradeswoman and you want to get into a job, then today's guest, Brent Clayton from Fire Recruitment Australia, has some fantastic tips on, I guess, how to do that well, what employers are looking for. And he should know, he's been coaching people to get jobs for the last 9 years or so. So, yeah, little bit of a interview with a difference today, but some fantastic info in there, and we hope you enjoy it. We hope you enjoy it as much as the Tradies in Business Trade Desk.
Yes. Well, that was a terrible segue.
I know. I was like,
you left me wanting there, really.
I didn't really set you up. I set you up for a fall.
You do it often.
There you go. But you cope with it so well, Coxie.
Thank you.
You don't even need the firefighter's safety net at the bottom.
No.
Oh.
That was
I could
terrible.
Go get you a ladder.
Yeah.
Breathing apparatus.
To get a Swedish backpacker out of a tree. You really need to wait for that
story. Oh, my gosh. I wanted to say a joke there so bad, and I thought I wouldn't.
I'm glad you didn't. You can save that for the boys' room.
Yes. Anyway,
back to the trade desk.
Yes.
You need to come check it out. It's the bit of the shop where the important people go when they need a bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the trade desk is. Only our trade desk is full of smiling people that will actually show you where something is that you need rather than those surly ones at that big hardware chain that I won't
steady.
Mention.
They might want to sponsor the show one day.
It won't be this one they sponsor. Yes.
But you have Coxie's and my smiling face offering you support. We have basically a group of tradies in business that are all helping each other. You get access to business training. There's videos, there's templates, there's scripts. There's a 12-month business course as well if you stick around for that long. And if you don't, doesn't matter because there's no contracts.
Mm-mm.
We're not out to shaft anybody. There's a money-back guarantee. There's fortnightly live Q&As with us and our super special guests, bonus podcast episodes.
Hot seats.
Sweet partner offers where, you know, you can get terms and conditions and discounts on debt collection and advice and, you know, exclusive bonuses that aren't available to anybody other than Trade Desk members, which is you, because you're going to go to tradiesinbusiness.com.au /trade desk, but just head to the website. You'll find the big button there. Go have a look at the page. Please watch the crazy video. It explains everything, or you could read the text, click on the button, and you're in. So
look forward to seeing you there with our smiley faces.
Absolutely. Enjoy today's episode.
Good morning, listeners. Good afternoon, listeners. Good evening, listeners. How are we today?
I wonder if it... if we need to, like, think about when they're listening and not say the good morning thing.
Well, I said all three.
you're like the two Ronnies, good afternoon, good morning and good night, or whatever they used to say.
They did too.
Yeah.
Well, that makes you the other Ronnie.
I'm the funny Ronnie.
Right.
Anyway.
Only you're laughing at your own joke.
Yeah, well, that's anyway, it doesn't matter. Move on, please. We've got a guest today.
We do have a guest today. We've got Brent Clayton. How are you, Brent?
Going well, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, pleasure, mate. You reckon I've got a podcast voice? You do like this beautiful lady voice, you know, where it's like, hello.
I'm not
it's
a lady.
So sweet and it's so not you.
It's only because I'm meeting somebody for the first time. Thanks, Brent. I like what you're saying.
Energetic.
So you're on the Tradies in Business podcast, and today we've got a guest with a difference. He's not, well, I don't know, technically you're probably a tradie, mate. You work as hard as tradies, don't you?
Intermittently, yeah.
When you're not playing cards in the crib or something like that.
It's more binary. You're on or you're off.
Yeah.
So, Brent, you're a firefighter. Mate, can you tell us, I've got a question.
It's my question.
I'm dying to ask. I almost didn't ask it because I didn't want to upset you, but I figure stuff it. You're a fiery. Mate, have you got your own calendar?
Well, funnily enough, a guy on my shift actually got the front cover last year. So
no way.
I didn't make the cut, unfortunately. I don't know if it's my suntan or whatever it is. Didn't allow me to get on there, but he got the front cover of it. So he's like been semi-famous for the last year or so.
Is there competition amongst firemen to get into the calendar or onto the front cover?
Really?
Yeah, it's a really big thing, and something that I didn't notice because I probably was never looking at that component of it was some people, like, it's a lifelong dream to get the job, and then on top of that, you know, that's the cream on the cake to get it in the calendar. And then there's, like, levels of calendars too. There's a lot in it once you start being around someone that's, you know, in the process. But the guy I work with, Aaron, he's been in it. This will be his third year in a row, so he's kept himself in pretty good order.
That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah, he's a good fellow, though. So
he'd have to spend more time in the gym than he would fighting fires, though, wouldn't he?
It's quite possible, Warwick, yes.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about calendars and the fact that you're not in it, mate, so I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to sort of touch on a raw nerve there, Brent, but...
Oh, it's not raw, that's for sure.
But, mate, you've made an interesting, sideways step and created a business out of being a fiery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a bit about that, mate.
Yeah, I've been a fiery for about 11 years now, but it took me a couple of goes to get the job, which was very upsetting for me at the time because I thought I was pretty okay, you know, like I'm like, they'd be mad not to have me on board sort of thing. And turns out you've got to have some skills and abilities and be able to demonstrate that to the people that are doing the hiring. So
there'll be a few tradies out there that reckon they're pretty good as well.
Yeah, exactly. But so it turns out the competition's very fierce, like down to 0.2% in some recruitment. So after I sort of figured out how to, you know, present myself properly and do all that, I'm like, well, I can't be the only bloke on the face of the, you know, planet that's had a struggle or wasted 12 months was the biggest key for me in obtaining this position. So I went about creating a business in order to help people that were in the exact position I was in back in 2006, 2007, just so they could avoid if they wanted to do the work, you know, having that terrible feeling, and in particular wasting a year of your life just because you don't have the right tools at your disposal.
Mm.
It's interesting because we get asked reasonably frequently by young guys and girls wanting to start an apprenticeship in the trades, and yeah, you know, they want to know which is the best industry or how they should put together their you know, resume, or you know, what are some good companies, or crikey, they don't even know when to ask and when to start asking around. So you know, this whole recruitment thing, I think, actually baffles a lot of people, because most of us have never sat on the other side of the table to know what it is that recruiters are looking for.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
So what are some of the, I guess, you know, obviously our listeners are not as likely to go try and get into the fireys, but
it's fundamentally
the same, though. What are some of the common threads, Brent, to, you know, successful applications?
Well, I think to sort of flavour it so that it's good for the listeners of this, it's like if you're a young person and you're looking to join a trade, or, you know, if you're a young person and you're looking to get a job with a company, you, because you are young, for a start, you often don't know what you don't know. So you need to be talking to someone that's been through the process and that has an idea, so that you can be like, oh, I didn't even know that. Because at a young age in particular, there's going to be all sorts of stuff that you're just not aware of because you haven't broadened your perspective. And another thing is having an awareness, if you want a position with a company, whether that be a fire service provider or a carpenter or a plumber or whatever, and it's a large, you need to know what their business is about and what's important to them, so that you can present yourself in a way that they're going to be impressed, or more impressed than they were with the other, you know, 10, 20 or 100 people that were going for the same exact position. So I reckon that's a common theme in getting any position across the board, you know, in general. So, yeah.
You raise a good point there, Brent. I find more and more so every time, you know, I've got kids that are turning up for jobs. I've got a young adult turning up for a job, and they are often jobs where there are 50, 60, 70, 100 people have applied. Finding a way to stand out from that crowd can be really difficult. What sort of things do you suggest that can help you stand out?
Well, I think to help yourself stand out, if you can put yourself, this is just a brief overview, like there's a lot more detail, but if you can put yourself into the other side of the desk, so the person that's hiring you's shoes, and it's like, what are they going to be looking for? So you mentioned 70 applicants. You ever think about receiving 70 applications? You need to be able to cut through. That's your first interaction with a potential employer. You can't be, you don't want to be the one that's like highlighted and, you know, so that you get put to the side straight away. You need to be able to cut through just initially. And then obviously if you know something about their business and what's important to them, you're going to have a bit of a win there as well, you know. And probably the third thing to put in three fundamentals is know what your skills are. Like, and not only know what they are, be able to communicate them to the other person. Because you might know that you're good at, I don't know, working with people or in a team or whatever it is. But unless you can demonstrate that to a point where they'll believe you, you're sort of not going to have a win, are you? So I reckon that they're the three keys. If you just focused on those, you're going to be above average. Some people have those skills just in general, but most of us don't.
So going back to the fireys, mate. What's some of the big areas that you've seen people lacking that have come to you saying, "I want to join, you know, the fire service or the fire brigade"? You know, it's called different things in different states, I guess, but we'll just stick with fireys, mate. I want to get in. Here I am. This is what I've done.
Yeah.
What's some of the big areas that you tend to focus on with those people?
We sort of break it down into five components based on each phase of the test, because it's essentially the same for every service in the country. That's like your cognitive stuff and your interview, personality profiling, fitness, that sort of vibe. But I think that the main thing is that the person has the drive to apply themselves. That seems to be missing these days. I don't know if it's just these days or if it's been forever, but the people that tend to do well will have a higher level of drive than the other people. Because I can go, here's, do this course and you will win. People don't do it all the time. Do you know what I mean? If you just, you need something that's going to make you go and sit in that room and do some study instead of watching Netflix. You need a reason to do that. So, like, we can give you the fundamental areas, and it's similar for becoming a tradie if it's a competitive spot. You know, you interview, and if you do a cognitive test or an abilities test, you know, you might do something like that. If you need to bring yourself up in one of those areas, well, you need a reason to do that. Otherwise, you're just going to go drink a beer and, you know, watch TV when you get home, sort of jazz. So, yeah.
Yep. So I'm curious, mate. Have you had someone that's like come to you, signed up for your program, and you've looked at them and thought, oh my gosh, this is like pushing wind uphill, you know, and been surprised by the turnaround and the performance?
I think I know what you're getting at. Yeah. there's a couple of components to this, and there's so. We have products so people can just come and buy those, and also have like a coaching program where I'll work with you one-on-one or in one in a group sort of thing.
Yep.
There's two things. So first of all, if I'm going to be working with someone, so I'm going to be putting my time and effort in to help them achieve their goal, I'm going to have a conversation with them to sort of see where they're at and if they're ready or suitable to do that. Yeah, so that's the first sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is not judging a book by its cover. Like, I speak fairly slowly compared to, you know, average or whatever. Doesn't mean that the brain's slow, if that makes sense.
So absolutely.
I'm probably the guy you're talking about, if you know what I mean.
So, I speak fast and it doesn't mean I'm smart, mate.
So, look, I think you, in that respect, you've just got to go, look, let's have a bit more of a conversation and see if they're suitable or if it's just, you know, something's not meeting the eye. Because, like, joining the fire brigade, it's not like you're not a rocket scientist. It's mainly is trade background people, you know, teachers, ex-police persons.
Well done.
And all that sort of jazz. So, I didn't really answer your question because I don't have a specific example, but it's pretty competitive. So
I think what you say there about not judging a book by its cover. I remember an interview we did with Paul Dolly, who's a mate of mine, a concreter, or has a concreting business. I wouldn't say Paul's a concreter anymore because he's pretty well off the tools. but he shared the story on the podcast of a young guy, school leaver, was, you know, overweight, unfit, didn't sort of have any particular skills. In relation to trades or anything like that, you know, wasn't sort of super handy. And what he did have, though, was pretty much grit and determination to make it happen and make it work. Paul gave him a start. And I think he said like 12 months later, the kid's lost a ton of weight. He's heaps fitter. He's stronger. He's picking things up. He's learning stuff. And he's a great member of their team.
Yeah.
And that's someone that, as an employer, you know, it would be tempting to be hasty and sort of judge that person and go, oh, there's no way this guy's going to work out, hey?
Yeah. Well, you guys would know this, being in trades and being in touch with people in trades. I've got a number of friends that have medium to large trade businesses, and there's something I've identified over like a 10-year period. You would take one of those workers over three skilled workers with poorer attitudes any day of the week.
Yep.
And the way the fire services try and determine that attitude is through personality type testing and stuff like that, with varying degrees of you know, success. But that's their way of trying to do it. And it's so important because you can teach a skill, but if someone's already got the skill and they sort of think they're good and the attitude's lacking, like, that's generally not going to be a trending upwards graph. Mm. You know, people don't generally start working for you and then get more motivated as time goes.
So true.
Yeah, it tends to be a degenerative disease, that one.
Unfortunately, unless the, you know, the leadership of the business or the organisation is really good, that's where it tends to go.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what some of the main attitude attributes are that you would expect a successful applicant to have? You know, we talk about attitude a lot, and I talk to employers about you want to hire people with good attitude, and, you know, they've got to have a good state of mind and all that sort of stuff. But yeah. How do we pick that, mate? Like, how do you go about deciding what's a good attitude and what's a bad one?
Well, I reckon we're trying to get a bit too fancy with it nowadays. You know, it's more about your value systems as far as I can see. It's like I would have never been late for a day of work, I don't think, in, you know, my life. And I reckon that's an indicator of how you approach everything. But as far as measuring that before you employ someone, we've got all the classic tools for that, like, you know, references and stuff like that. But it's more of a trial and error thing, I think. And probably in a trade environment, it is slightly easier to trial someone and then let them go if they're not good enough. But I think in saying that, you need to be able to identify the poor behavioural value swiftly so that you don't cause yourself to put resource into someone that's just gonna, you know, cost you time and money and so on, and particularly with training, because no one likes to put a heap of effort into training someone and then they shoot off to the next business or whatever. But that's a whole nother kettle of fish, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued to know. I can imagine that it must be a mentally draining job at times, Brent, being a fiery.
it's very interesting and unlike any other job. I analyse everything pretty much. Mm. And, you know, over an 11-year sort of patch, it's because it's either you're on or you're off. And the thing about fire brigade and emergency management and stuff like that, you can never do it. It's not like building a house. It's like there's that square. There's a million different opinions of how something could have been done, right? So you can never be right.
that's hard.
It's just that environment. And, it attracts a certain personality type, which is also interesting when you start looking at it on a large scale. It's a very interesting sort of arrangement, that's for sure.
It must take a certain type of thought process to get through those emergency situations and strategically plan in an instant how to deal with what's unfolding in front of you. I would think that particularly in your case, the police, anybody that's dealing with those emergency type situations, there must be some really stringent testing that needs to be done before you begin that training process, just to ensure that you're the right personality type, that you can think the right way.
They do their best, I'd say, at doing that, and particularly as you work your way through the rank structure and start taking on responsibility. But you can't get it right every time. But in saying that, it just becomes an objective task, unfortunately, a lot of the time, but it has to be, otherwise you'd be like an emotional wreck because you'd be taking on everything at the scene. You're just putting things in and tasking, no different to a tradie job. It's just happening a lot quicker and the consequences can be extremely high. But it's just prioritizing and applying different, you know, like first aid for this, ambulance for that, police for that. You know, it's just like, yeah, we need the chippies for this, the plumbers for that,
So it's just taking the emotion out is what you're really saying, isn't it?
Well, sort of. You've got to be able to show some empathy and stuff like
that. Of course,
yeah. That needs to be genuine, I think. And, you know, people have varying degrees of that within them, depending on sort of how they've grown up and stuff like that. But you have to be able to show that. But essentially, to do a good job, you need to be able to look at the whole situation and then sort of, I call it zooming out pretty much. You got to zoom out and go, right, what's going on here? Because if you get tunnel vision and put the blinkers on, then you're not able to do your job effectively, essentially. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Brent, what did you want to be when you grew up, mate? You know, when you were
young? Rich. I wanted to be rich.
Rich.
I love that answer.
Because I thought you're a fireman. Like it must be fireman, policeman, astronaut, probably the young boys' picks, I think,
do
wouldn't it be?
Do they still want to be astronauts, really?
I don't know. We don't have many astronauts anymore.
It's dangerous. A bit risky, the astronaut one.
Yes.
You know?
Like, says a fiery.
It's calculated risk, and it's probably more dangerous to ride your pushy on the road, to
so
be honest.
True.
So I wanted to fly helicopters for the Army, and then that didn't quite work out because, I hadn't done my research quite well enough. And I was probably more in love with the idea, but then I thought I'd become a bit of a businessman, and we started this car sales website for a few years back when the internet was like brand new. I honestly didn't really even know how it worked, but I learned how it worked through that process. And then I saw this fire brigade job, and I'm like, geez, that looks like a good sort of lifestyle job. And it is from the outside. You get plenty of leave and you get a lot of time with your family and stuff like that, but there's equal and opposite, things within it, like shift work, night shift, working over Christmas, getting your circadian rhythm sort of blown to bits.
Yeah.
So, like, if you looked at it as an ad in the paper, fantastic job. And it is. Like, it's an extraordinary job. It's above average, but you need to be the right person and understand that those things that they're not obvious are there as negatives to go with it, you know. Just like running your own tradie business, I always think about the wife or the husband doing the books at 10 at night when the kids are in bed, and it's like that makes me want to throw up because I've done that work for my own business, and it is, you're not operating in your sort of genius or your, you know, where you've got your thing that you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like what?
So how long's, is it Fire Recruitment Australia?
Australia.
Yeah. How long has that been running, mate?
About 9-ish years.
I was just going to ask if you can remember back that far. What was it like transitioning into that business? I mean, obviously you've been in the fireys for a while, and then starting this new business, you know, it's as you've sort of pointed out with bookkeeping and that sort of stuff, there's a lot to do. How did you find that transition in the startup phase of your business?
It is massive. It's like I'm in the process of creating a new business to help people that were where I was then. Honestly, like, because the learning curve 9 years ago, you got to think about where things were at 9 years ago. Like, podcasts were not a thing at all, for example. So I had to learn all this outsourcing business, and then I had to write a book and learn how to self-publish that. And so it was an extremely steep learning curve. And then I had to learn how to operate a business on not a lot of money because I was selling a book, essentially. But yep. I've still got to pay the tax man and the tax agent to, you know, like, I was playing business for a long time. And it's not until you get all your systems and stuff in place that it actually starts to, you can have a breath and begin to work in what I call your genius, so that you can help more people. You can do a better job. You can see a hole in your service or the market and put a good plug in it. You know what I mean? Like offer a good service as opposed to going, oh, I've got a book. You can go, oh, there's a gap in my offer. And because I'm not down doing the books and you know, worrying about this system or that system because I've set it up, I'm able to serve my customers better and create better products. So, yeah.
What's something that, you know, the old story, if you could go back and do it again, Brent, is there something you'd do differently either with the business or just, you know, maybe put the work in and go fly choppers in the army or something like that?
Yeah, look, I think there's it's if I could go back in time, essentially, I'd probably have a look at more so what would suit me as a job when I was younger, so that when you're at that young age, you could be like, right, I'll go to university or I'll do a specific thing for a long-term job. Because like you guys know this, 10 years goes bang and you're like, ah, oh, it's a bit late to change now.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that kind of stuck. Thing.
Yeah, and that's not where you want to go. But if I was writing a letter to my younger self, it'd have something like, have a real look at what you actually want to do and don't worry about money or anything too much at this point, because it'll come later. If you get the foundation right of what suits you and your skills and what sort of lights you up a bit, I think it's worth doing that as soon as you can. But with the business, if I was to go back, I'd just spend more time creating a product and having faith in the product so that I could, you know, promote it, because it's a good product. But until you get feedback from the market, you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. But in this day and age, there's that many super confident Instagrammers and all this jazz. It's like, just know that you're good and you're not imposting, because the market will tell you if your product's shit, then you can just get about whatever you're doing, you know what I mean?
So, go get a job in the fireys.
Yeah. But, like, fail as fast as you can, because then you can move on. You know, like, you hear stories of people, they're doing this X for bloody 3 years and it never happens. Just get your thing out of the market, and if it works, it works. Otherwise, get rid of it and then, you know, move on to the next thing, sort of jazz.
I like it, mate. Fail fast.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I've done a few of them over the years.
Happened.
It's true, though. And look, you need people to help. The three things that got me to sort of move along was I invested in three different coaches over that 10-year period. The first one got me into that space. The second one got me to the sort of where I was actually making some money. And the third one sort of made it fun. You know what I mean? Like, without that guidance, you know, you could sit around kicking stones for bloody 10 years pretty much.
Oh, yeah, yep.
It's not that you don't know it a lot of the time either. Sometimes it's like, well, I'll pay this dude whatever, 10 grand or something, so I'm going to do what he says.
Yes.
Like, there might be something you knew you've known it for 3 years, but you haven't done it. I have to do it now because he said so, you know. And it's that simple. But, like, is that money well spent? Yes, I believe. Mm. You know, it'll come back fairly severely if you do it properly. And so that was a big lesson for me. And you're not ever really finished, I don't think, on that spectrum. But
I'm interested to know, Brent, how you came to that mindset to employ a coach in the first time. It's a question that we're often asked, why do I need a coach? Why would I have a coach? So to hear it from somebody that has actually independently done that, what brought you to that point for your first coach that you realised that you needed that help?
My first coach and what tipped me was, so it was internet marketing. It was an American company. Like, this is back like 9 years ago. And if you actually think about 9 years ago, there wasn't a heap going on. It was still Google AdWords was the main thing. And Facebook probably barely existed. So what it was I got onto them and I was talking to the lady, and it was, at the time, it was $8,000, which that was a huge amount of money at that time. And I was walking down the street and I'm like, oh, I can't do it. It's $8,000. That's too much money, sort of thing. And I'm like, well, what's going to change if I don't do it? And the answer is nothing, right? So I took a leap of faith. I actually think I redrew it on my mortgage or something like that. And I paid the $8,000. I probably didn't get what I thought I was going to get out of it, but I got something, like a couple of things that propelled me a little bit forward, which I wouldn't have got I probably got my $8,000 back over 12 months or something like that out of it.
Mm. Yep.
But then I learned a couple of things that allowed me to sort of get to the next level. Then a few years down the track, probably five, I got another coach that allowed me to structure things a little bit better and just forced me to do stuff that I already knew. And then most recently, I worked with some guys to sort of automate a heap of stuff and go bigger. And you know what I said about you don't know what you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
If you get a coach and you pick up one thing, if you look at it on a 10-year trajectory, which people don't, they want it now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you get something, one thing right out of having that interaction, the exponential of that is it's just so ridiculous that not having a coach, now that I know it, like I'm just waiting for the next sort of, I'm waiting for the next one that suits me sort of thing. You know what I mean? For where you were at that point in time, like,
that's right.
I'm sure there's bad ones and good ones and stuff like that, but you've just got to do it. Otherwise, nothing changes a lot of the time. Like, you might be able to figure it out. And even if you do, it might take you another year. And what's a year of your life worth? Like, I can't put a dollar value on that.
Yeah, and it's I think it's a mindset shift even to commit to working with a coach. And so even if you sign up for a program or whatever it is, work with a coach one-on-one, doesn't really matter. But just that getting in that headspace of I'm going to pay someone else to give me feedback and keep me accountable to getting better, I think that in itself is the win, even if you don't, any perceived value from the coaching or the mentoring itself. The fact that you've committed to that path of personal growth, I think, is what's actually critical about it.
I reckon you've brought up an excellent point there, and I was thinking about this morning. What's going on in the world now is there's all this info, right? There's heaps of info. Like you can go find it, but no one's taking action, right?
Yes.
And having a coach, like you just said, if it's like, hey, so this week you are going to do this, this, and this. So when you've knocked off, you're like, oh, I've got to get that done because Warwick, that's on the list and I'm cashing up with him tomorrow and I don't want to, I didn't buy an excuse. I bought a coach, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you will do it. And it might be the most uncomfortable thing that you've been avoiding doing. You'll just do it and then it's done. And mm-hmm. I can tell you that, like, from experience, that might be the one thing that changes your life as far as your freedom from the shit jobs within your business, or the you might double your income from it, or, something like that can come out of doing that action that you know you're supposed to have done for the last 2 years or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's such a good point, mate.
I think another good point that you raised, Brent, was you outgrow coaches. I actually think that that's the best, most complimentary thing you can say about a coach is you've gotten to that point where you can move past that coach. And, for a period of time for most people that would mean perhaps just going solo for a while, but there's nothing wrong with then finding another one.
I really think
if you're listening to this and you currently have a coach and it's not working for you or you've reached that stagnant point, that's okay. That's actually really healthy. That means that coach has helped you to their potential and it's okay to move forward onto a new coach or go solo for a while and see what doors open for you.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And you might, a lot of coaches will position themselves for a certain income bracket or a certain business at a certain point. And that's perfect because then you really do know if you've outgrown them or whatever as well. So, and there's no point having a coach if you just want to tell your friends that you've got a coach. You need to utilize the resource. And then once you've utilized the resource, maybe even do what they've suggested.
Could be beneficial.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Having been in the coaching and mentoring industry for over 10 years and I know Coxie's been doing a fair bit for a number of years as well. It's always fascinating the stories I hear from people about other coaches that they share with me. And it's like, he was no good or she was no good. They didn't get the results with me. And it's like, hang on. who didn't get the results? Like, did you do all the stuff? Because I don't know if I want to work with you yet.
Well, that's part of your screen. I think there's like a few different types of customers for a coach, and there's the customer that wants to buy an excuse.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, I did that. It didn't work. Like, it didn't bloody work, eh? And then there's the ones that it's like they'll do too much. And I like those ones, though, because that helps you to grow as a coach.
Yes.
Because you're like, right, instead of it's like, oh, it's too easy otherwise. And one of the things I use is each time we do a coaching session, there's the three wins that I want them to get for till we catch up the next time. And then when we're catching up, I can grab that and go, right, how are we tracking here?
Mm.
And that's where you see what their attitude is towards, you know, the program or, you know, the help that you're giving them. And funnily enough, the ones that do the things eventually get the chocolates, as they say.
It's a pretty simple formula, mate. So 9 years in Fire Recruitment Australia. What's next for you, Brent? What does the future look like?
Yeah, so it's like I touched on earlier, I've started a business called the Authority Marketing Machine, where I'm just going to start helping people get from where I was, you know, back at the start in 9 years ago. Instead of spending 9 years, we'll sort of do it in 3 months to 12 months, get them from the zero to fully fledged, replace your income type arrangement in that sort of patch of time. So I'm working on that, but I'm still doing the Fire Recruitment Australia because that's a passion of mine, and I've just got some extra coaches on board to help. Well, we're probably delivering a better service. It's just that I'm there a little bit less, you know, which frees me up to spend a bit of time with family, etc., which is super important. So
sure is.
The good old leverage equation, mate.
Well, it's, you know what, it's the best thing because it allows you to serve your clients better. Because, you know, I talked about the five different components that we work on. Well, there's actually specialists in all those areas. So I just find the best ones, the best, and then I just get them to work for us and help my guys. And then when it gets to the bit that I'm good at, then I help them in that bit. It's just bloody fantastic.
Mm. Just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so going back to the fireys just for one second, I'm really intrigued. I've got another
question.
You're
picturing the calendar, aren't you, Coxie?
No, I'm past the calendar. I want to know if you've ever rescued a kitten stuck up a tree.
Kidnap a tree, have been called to a couple, funnily enough.
Really?
It's hilarious. Because one of the old fellas back when I was new, he's like, you ever seen a cat skeleton in a tree? And it's like, not really. But my personal favourite was rescuing a Swedish backpacker out of a tree. That was...
dare I even ask how that came about?
Oh, well, they're drunk, like, and that one of them dead, the other one to climb the tree, and she'd got up there and then just frozen because it was hot.
Too high.
I went, get him out of the tree.
You must, I can imagine your day would be quite serious most of the time. I assume, though, that must create a real camaraderie between the people, I'm going to say, broadly, yes, that you work with, your team.
Well, you're second family, pretty much.
Yeah, they would be. I can imagine that. And I wonder if there is that support for you each. Is it something that you give each other after some of those tough jobs? You know, is that their time to debrief, to spend together, to talk over what you've seen or been through?
Absolutely. We like to joke around a lot, like probably above average. But, you know, our days are structured out that well that, there's no time for sitting around being sad or being negative. That's not allowed in our environment. So all of that goes together to contribute to we eat healthy, fit, positive. It allows you to deal with that stuff when it comes up really easily. Mm-hmm. And I can't say everyone does that, but that's the sort of vibe that our shift, and there's a lot of shifts like that do it, so that there's no time for sitting around you know, whinging about this or that and,
yeah.
you know, get there. But there are supports and stuff. Services are very well aware of the mental implications of these particular types of jobs nowadays. So they've sort of done a reasonable job of, you know, looking after that as well as us looking after each other.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. So question I like to ask everyone on the show, Brent, is if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you would love to leave them with, mate?
1,000 tradies in a room. What, are they business tradies or are they workers?
Let's go tradie business owners.
Get your systems right and get someone that's done it to show you how, because it'll be 3 years quicker.
That's great advice.
No, only three.
I can say that. One of my best mates is an electrician with like 20 dudes on the books, and I've watched him do it, and he's like, I could show someone how to do this in 12 months now. Mm-hmm. And I'm good, but he's busy doing his stuff. But now his trade business is like my business. Like, he's at the point where the systems and the people and the operating procedures and all that stuff that you don't have are helping everything run, so that he's just dealing with the odd thing.
Yep.
And looking at the figures and the stuff that matters and using his genius to improve his business and deliver a better service out in the field. So that's what I'd say.
Perfect advice.
Good advice, mate. So if people want to go and see photos of you, I mean, go find out more about you, Brent, what's the best way or best place for them to do that?
Well, if you're looking at the Fire Brigade stuff, it's just firerecruitmentaustralia.com. And if you're looking at the business side of things, it's brand new, but it's authoritymarketingmachine.com.au over there.
Sounds flash, mate.
Very nice.
Well, mate, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, awesome.
And, all the best with the next new business, mate. Sounds like you're a bit of a startup monster.
There we go.
And, go check it out, team. So firerecruitmentaustralia.com or authoritymarketingmachine.com.au. We'll put all the links in the show notes, as always, at tradiesinbusiness.com.au. And if you're listening to this thinking, you know what, this whole thing about getting a coach, that's probably not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
A good starting point would be the Tradies in Business Trade Desk. So head on over to tradiesinbusiness.com.au/trade-desk and you'll find all the information there about how to get started on your own journey of having a coach, and it doesn't have to cost you as much as you think.
No, less than a carton of beer, really.
Carton of beer a month, and you'll lose weight and get smarter in the process. So go check that out. And Brent, thanks again, mate. Been awesome having you on.
Thanks, legends.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.